This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin our number three. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. I mentioned that we got this UFC card going on in Azerbaijan. Wyatt Tomczyk just came out and showed me on a map where it is, and I still don't know where it is, Jensen. Like, I'm not good with my geography, even though I've been to the Middle East, not for a UFC fight. And I'm like, I don't know where we are. Like, it feels like it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's a really good fight card. But that time difference, we got to get up early here stateside to watch this over there in Azerbaijan. Are you going to get up tomorrow morning and watch this fight card?
The boundary of West Asia and Eastern Europe bounded by the Caspian Sea.
Oh, my gosh.
Russia's Republic there to the north, Georgia to the northwest, Armenia and Turkey to the west, and then Iran to the south. I'll tell you what, going to be a little morning coffee for you, my friend. But very intriguing. You mentioned it. You thought unders would rule the day. That could certainly be a theme here for this card.
Yeah, I think there's, again, when you have a card like this back for us on the stateside on ABC, you normally don't want a lot of decisions, right? You want to see if we can get some fights here to get some excitement here. So again, ABC choosing violence, and I'm all for it here. Let's bring in the aforementioned Lou Fitacaro. Give him a follow on X at Gamblu, the host of the About Business podcast, joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Lou, how early do you have to get up to watch the weigh-ins that are going to go on over there in Azerbaijan?
Well, first of all, Dave and Jensen, thanks so much for having me on. Sorry about my new setup and technical difficulties. Actually, Azerbaijan was accommodating 10 p.m. last night. The issue is there were no MMA fighting or MMA junkie or anyone streaming. So I had to look on Twitter to see the update.
Wow.
Everyone made weight fine, except for the lightweight bout between Oralbay and the young buzzsaw named Musayev, who is from Azerbaijan. That fight is now a 165-pound fight, and I'm trying to determine who was the one that initiated. I think it was Oralbay.
All right, Lou. So we go to the top of the main card with Hill and Roundtree. And Dave had said early this week, if you like Hill, the time to get on him is now. And it has already gone down to a minus 110 on both sides. Excuse me, at least here at Circa. Size it up for us contextually. How does this match up for you and what should be a very, very good fight?
A very good fight, and as Dave alluded to, violence. I think, you know, they're looking for violence here. Usually you don't see a 3.5 on a men's 5-round fight like this. It'll be, you know, maybe a 2.5 or a 4.5. So 3.5 is interesting. You have Roundtree, and let's understand, Hill opened -205 to +175. Now, Roundtree got pounded early all the way down to about a pick'em, maybe even beyond where Hill was early in the week, a little bit of a dog. Now it's come back to Hill a little bit, and I think that's based on value. Hill, 3 inches taller, a year younger, 5-inch reach advantage. This fight stands, plays out to be a standing affair, and in a standing affair, height, reach, age all add advantage. I think that Hill has been in with better, despite the two losses he's recently taken. And Roundtree may be getting a little too much premium, even though he looked great against Pereira. He got the brakes beat off of him. And coming back, even with time, off such a beatdown with a guy that's been somewhat inconsistent, it would be very, very difficult for me at this price to try and invest in Roundtree.
Excellent handicap, as always, Lou. And again, on that main event, and getting back to the Pereira fight, the last time we saw Khalil, it's been a minute because he had to get his face rearranged after that brutal beating. But Jamal Hill has also been in a couple brutal beatings of his own, getting knocked out by Pereira. And then, of course, we saw the last time out, didn't look very good against Prochazka. Is there any way that this fight goes over 3.5 at plus money? Because I don't see it, Lou. I see two guys, and I know they're durable, and they've taken a lot of shots. How many more shots can both these guys take?
Well, that's a good question, Dave. But I mean, Roundtree made it into the late fourth with Pereira. And I don't attribute Hill to have Pereira's power. And I think that Hill, consequently, with his length and size, is going to play the distance game here. I quite like the over 3.5 Ooh. In this fight.
That's solid.
I love that.
You get plus $1.75 yeah. right now, gentlemen, for over 3.5.
Yeah, no question. Hey, right. Also, another one there in the lightweight co-main event here with the Ignacio Bahamondes. Lou, I know it's a 3-fight skid for Fazeev, and then Bahamondes 17-5. He's got that submission win over Turner from earlier this year in March. From a striking contrast standpoint, you would think Bahamondes there, a striking and grappling, maybe some more enhanced training for him. Is that the side that you like in this fight?
Absolutely not. I like Bahamondes. He comes in with great momentum. He does and has shown the ability to grapple and submit. But he enters, and this represents a significant step up, in my opinion. Yes, Fazeev lost 3, but who to? 2 to Gaethje, 1 on short notice, and then Gamrot. That's a much higher level of competition than is Jalen Turner, who's in his last fight hardly gave an effort and then retired. I think Bahamondes is made for Fazeev in this situation, and here's another fight where we've seen some movement. Fazeev opens minus 205. The tsunami wave of money comes in on Bahamondes. Now you're going to give me Fazeev close to a pick. Listen, Fazeev also, where is he from? Oh, Kazakhstan. And as we know, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, all these areas around the Caspian Sea, all these regional fighters are submerging here to fight, and they're going to have the crowd. I think Fazeev, who doesn't use wrestling, who is a Kazakhstani, and we know he has it. He's the striking coach at Tiger Muay Thai in Phuket. And I look for him to cut Ignacio Bahamondes in half.
That Arizona education is on display right there with the geography lesson, Lou. That's fantastic. By the way, I mentioned violence off the top, and we talked about you like the over in that main event, which I think will surprise a lot of people. The under for the Bahamondes and Fazeev fight is plus $1.45. Are you looking that fight goes the distance and that's where Fazeev might get some home cooking? Or do you think it gets it done with the hands and can get a knockout here and cash that plus money ticket at plus $1.45 if you like the under?
I'm not afraid of Fazeev. I'm not going to bet anything other than the straight Fazeev, but I believe that he sets up well to attack Bahamondes midsection, and you kill the body and the head will go, as Angelo Dundee used to say.
Angelo Dundee, yes. Anytime you quote Angelo Dundee, you know you've got me excited going back to the Ali days. Curtis Razorblade, Chicago Zone, is going to be back in there against a relative newcomer here in Kanaev. What do you make of Curtis being this big a favorite at 245 if he tries to get back into the heavyweight title picture?
I mean, the issue with Curtis Blaydes is the UFC. They don't like him. They don't like wrestlers. Blaydes is in a tough position. He beats absolutely elite fighters, but his kryptonite is that balsa wood beak of his. He's got a porcelain chin, and if Kuniev can hit it, he'll put him out. The issue is that's the only shot this debuter has. I expect Blaydes to come out with attitude, and a bad attitude at that. He's going to rub this Russian all over the mat. Blaydes dominates. Blaydes inside the distance plus 120. I want as much of that as I can get.
I almost started a USA chant right here in the studio, Jensen.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Lou, small pivot. You know I have to ask you because we get the College World Series Championship Series underway tomorrow. You and I, very much a fan of Teal Nation. We believe that they're live against the behemoth that is the LSU Tigers. From your perspective, size it up. How do you like this thing, especially with where the starting pitching matchups could be here for both Saturday and Sunday?
Well, fortunate for both teams, they're fresh and ready to go, and they can manipulate it how they want. I got to give LSU a slight coaching advantage, but I'm going to give Coastal the slight pitching advantage. And listen, LSU struggled with Little Rock, Arkansas in the regionals. The biggest thing that I took from the last game for each team is how much emotional energy it took LSU to get past their rival Arkansas. And when Coastal won, there wasn't even a celebration. Those guys expected to be there. They're not done yet. It's all business. This is all Coastal Carolina.
Woo! Love that handicap. Lou, very quickly, tell the people about the About Business podcast and also the sneak peek that you put out each and every week to get ahead of those changing numbers.
Yeah, I do a little opening line review on a sneak peek podcast that comes out Sunday at 7-8 minutes for those of you interested in an early look at the lines. And then on Friday, the About Business podcast comes out. It drops at gamblu.com, and there are all my final releases for the card, many of which we've covered here simply because weigh-ins are over and we're all ready to go.
I will say this, Lou. It's always great to have you in the program, but Mom's a little disappointed that you're not on camera. So we got to get, we'll get that camera figured out for next week.
Yeah, I sure hope so. It's technology and Uncle Lou, so we may, it may take 2 weeks.
I'm right there with you, Uncle Lou. Give him a follow at GamLou. Check out the About Business podcast and the sneak peek. It is fantastic information, as always. So, again, you got to get up early tomorrow morning, people. So I can't emphasize this enough. Get those wagers in before you go to sleep tonight. It's going to be an early morning, certainly for us out here in the West Coast and the East Coast as well. When we come back, let's get our best bets that we have on the day and the weekend. That is next year, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Great conversation, as always, with Lou Finocchiaro in the last segment. Colin Wilson's going to join us in the next segment. Really get a breakdown here of LSU and Coastal here, what we might see in that College World Series. And Kelly Bidwin's going to join us at the end of the program. Kind enough of Kelly to come in early for us here before he yops on with Gil for a numbers game. And we'll look at some of the changing numbers here. They're out there in the course. And what I'm seeing, Jensen, this is really surprising to me. It's not so much the scores or who's doing what, but it's the scoring or the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Berger, 3-5. Johnny Vegas, 1-5. Ricky Fowler, 5-4. Nick Dunlap, 1-2. Sam Stevens, 4-5. And just Cam Davis, 1-0 early on. Maverick McNeely, 1-0 as well. Gary Woodwin, 1-0. You notice that I've said there's only two guys under par right now for the entire tournament. This thing must be playing extremely hard all of a sudden. So Scotty got the, quote, bad end of the weather draw yesterday. Didn't affect Scotty. 8-under par. Scotty's going to go out early today. I wonder, Jensen, if this wind must be up. We don't have eyes on it yet. But that is really surprising for what we thought would be a birdie fest. And you got to shoot 20 under. It might be a survival day here in day two out there in Connecticut.
Yeah, right now, Patrick Cantlay, 2-2. Michael Kim, 1-4. And Ryan Gerard now, 1-3. So Russell Henley at even par through two. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Scotty goes off at 10:35 Eastern, so just a little bit over an hour and 15 minutes from now. I will certainly have my eyes glued to that. But, again, Patrick Cantlay, a guy that we talked about, you know, think about iron play. If he gets the putter hot, that could be a guy to circle here. So anxious to see where his number ends up as one of those guys out in the early group.
So, look, for me, you know, and I'm sure for Scotty, too, he doesn't mind a tough golf course because normally that's going to separate the pack. But remember, this is an elevated event, so you have the cream of the crop on the PGA Tour out there. Let's get to our best bets brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN, and some baseball plays. Look, I've already washed out what happened yesterday with the Reds. They get blown out at home, but a lot of runs were scored in that one. Reds can score now all of a sudden, which is kind of nice. Do they keep that going today against the Cardinals?
Yeah, I believe they do. And right now, over nine, an official play for me for VSiN Pro subscribers. Brady Singer, Andre Pallante, the pitching matchup there in the Midwest. So we're starting to get to those times too, Dave, where you get the heat and the humidity end of June, early July. Ball's going to travel at Busch Stadium and do feel that both sides will have opportunities at the bat rack. I got it at $1.02. The over right now you can get at even money there at Circa. So still like it. Both pitchers have had their struggles. And I think the offense is starting to swing the bat with regularity here between Cincinnati and St. Louis.
It had been a minute for the Twins to become the Win Twins again, but they did do that yesterday at the expense of the Reds. Do they keep this going today on the road trip here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, and you get the young pup and Jacob Mizorowski, who's going to get the start here for Milwaukee. For Minnesota, it's going to be Joe Ryan. I did play an alternate run line. I did play the -1, Dave. -$1.09 is what I got it at. Right now, money line is still pretty affordable at $1.49 DraftKings, $1.44 there at Circa. Byron Buxton, a couple of homers yesterday. I would certainly advocate for him if you want to play a player prop. Byron Buxton to score a run today would be an angle that I would look at. Also, a couple of guys that have hit the ball quite well. Isaac Collins and Caleb Durbin for the Milwaukee Brewers. Collins, an outfielder, Durbin, a third baseman. If you want to put those guys together or individually to record a hit today, that would be a way to go. Some other ones, again, we get an early one at Wrigley Field today. Yep. It will be the Mariners, George Kirby, the Cubs, Matthew Boyd. That totals at 9.5. Now, intriguing on that because I do think you get some length out of Matthew Boyd today. And again, this is a four start stretch now, Dave, where he's hit his over as far as outs recorded go. Right now, the line, I think, is at 17.5. But I would advocate for that. If you're looking for a particular prop to tackle in that Cubs game, I would say that. I would also look potentially at his strikeouts over 5.5. I believe the best price you can find on that is at, I believe you can find it at Caesars at $1.25, six or more strikeouts for Matthew Boyd today. So those are a couple that stood out as far as player props go right now here on the slate.
I misspoke that. Of course, that tilt for the Twins and Brewers is back in Minnesota today, with Minnesota being that home fave there. One other game I just got to ask you about because it's going to get ballyhooed a lot with the return now of Rafael Devers against his former team with Boston coming into San Francisco. Birdsong is going to be on the bump here against Dobbins of the Red Sox. $1.31 here is the price point. $1.25 now down a little bit for the Giants. How hard is that, Jensen, for Devers this quick, or is it hard to go up against those guys he was just on a plane with a couple days ago?
Yeah, it'll be a stay away spot for any Devers player props. And even so, when you kind of look at, where the matchup here is, Hunter Dobbins against Hayden Birdsong, as you mentioned, I think it's just one of those, you got to get through the emotions of it first.
Yep.
And then maybe potentially look tomorrow. You know, you kind of get all the hugs and great to see you again. And then you kind of move forward. I think tomorrow would be more of an advantageous spot if you're looking to get to specific Devers props.
Yeah, picking up what you're putting down there. We mentioned you added a play here in the golf. It looks like tougher conditions so far in round two, at least by the scores that we're seeing out there. But the guy that you added has not teed off yet, which is good news here because it feels like the later you have the tee time, the better it might be. And that's the Englishman. Tell the people what you got in pocket now.
All right, British Jesus, he's been on the ban list, but again, we're not asking him to win
right
with this play. So this is a winner without Scottie Scheffler market on DraftKings. If you have one of those boosts, I would use it, and I used mine. Tommy Fleetwood to win, and the winner without Scottie Scheffler market was at 16-1, got him up to +1888. So I already like the triple eights in a row there. It could be our lucky day. Just again, kind of one of those ideas where you could double dip. I do have my original Scottie Scheffler with that DraftKings boost at +330 to win outright. Maybe two bites yet again at the apple here to see what British Jesus can do.
If this weather, or at least this wind that I'm assuming right now, and again, I'm not a weatherman, don't know if it's going to die down in the afternoon. But if you're getting Scotty at the worst end of the draw today, you're going to be in an advantageous position there for Fleetwood. Also, another guy that's going to tee off late is going to be Rory and Cam Young, who we've talked a lot about here in the program today. Could we look at Rory and say he might be playable now? I don't want to play him because I don't know where his head's at. The game showed that yesterday it's still there when he wants it to be there. What about this, that he might get the better end of this weather draw here? He's plus 650 to win this tournament before he tees off today.
Yeah, he's drifted a little to 7-1 here on DraftKings. If you want that winner without Scotty market, he's plus 350. So you're getting a Scotty price in the winner without Scotty market. I think it's probably if you're going anywhere, it's got to be Cantlay, right?
Yeah,
I think that's just for the course and the form. I think that's probably money better spent there.
And by the way, since we will not speak again until Game 7 is concluded. So when we do the show Monday, we're going to have a new NBA champion. We don't know who it's going to be. How are we attacking this thing? The low total here, the lowest one we're going to see in the entire series, 8-point favorites right now for OKC. Are you going to look to those player props here instead of maybe side and total?
I think so. I mean, I probably will look a little bit more as we get closer to Sunday afternoon. Ones that are jumping out to me, by the way, remember I told you about if you could ladder the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander turnovers yesterday?
Wow.
You hit the entire ladder in the first quarter with three turnovers in the first quarter alone. Mm-hmm. So you hit that one. I did look at potentially Shai on the assist market. Six or more assists. I think you can get that across the board right now. Best price there at Caesars at $1.45. We talked about Halliburton, right? Rebounds, assists over 11 or more. Don't think that's a bad market. 10.5 right now. You get $1.46 at FanDuel. So, yeah, well, we'll probably add something on Sunday. Can't wait to see it. And who eventually is crowned champion, talk about it on Monday morning.
You had that layer up to three. He had 8 turnovers. How about that? What a great wager that was. Introducing the $500 trifecta. It's from GBank First Bet and Visa. And all you got to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger that $500 trifecta, you're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match. Visa will complete the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st, that in and of itself is a $200 value. That is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Reminder, this is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this very offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay. Colin Wilson is going to join us next here to talk some college baseball, what we're going to see here in the College World Series finale. And Kelly Bidlin is going to join us to round out the program and talk some golf and beyond. So come on back. It is VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Friday edition. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Kelly Bidlin's going to join us in the next segment before he hops on with Gil Alexander for a numbers game. But kind enough to join us right now is Colin Wilson. Does a great job. College sports senior writer at Action Network. Joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow at @Colin1. And Colin, you're there in Fayetteville. Have they gotten over the fact that Arkansas is not playing in the College World Series final? How are things down there in Arkansas land?
Shout out to Marley's Pizza on Dixon Street. Went down there to get a pizza last night, and the feelings are not good because all we have to look forward to, it's like the worst part of a relationship, because now all we have to look forward to is a 4-win football team talking about Notre Dame coming in and kicking our ass as two touchdown favorites. I mean, it's just gross around Fayetteville right now. We are not happy.
Yeah, Colin, just waiting for basketball season. Who would have thought to get Cal and the boys rolling? So let's kind of assess how it started and how it's going. I covered the Athens Regional. We saw an upset of upsets there with Duke going in and defeating not only Georgia, but also a hell of a way to finish against Oklahoma State. Saw Arizona and the Cats upset Carolina in Chapel Hill. I think many people looked at North Carolina potentially as that ACC team that could finally end the reign of the SEC. But here we are, all things that start well end well. And if you're an LSU Tiger fan, you got to love where you're at right now, headed into tomorrow night.
Well, especially being in a game seven situation against Little Rock, you know, not being able to close down an offense of Little Rock, a team that had to win out the College World Series to finish 500 on the season. I mean, LSU is pretty much rolling on house money, and everybody knows what that feels like. So when you get ahead on the house, whether it's blackjack or craps, it's like, hey, you know, this isn't my money anyways. I might as well keep going. And I have to wonder if that comes into play with LSU and their feeling right now is like, we could have gotten knocked out by Little Rock, but you know what? We're on house money. Let's keep it rolling.
Let's talk about this now against Coastal in game one here coming up. You're looking at LSU here on the run line. If you want to play that, you get plus money, plus $1.14. You got to lay $1.66 on the money line and the total sitting at 8.5. Colin, how do you break down game one? And obviously in a best of three, you certainly like to win this first one. Is this a good spot to back LSU in game one?
You know, I think so because Kate Anderson has been so elite, especially he was against Arkansas, but you're taking him up against Cameron Flukie, and the true line in this game, I make it LSU minus 160. So, you know, considering that, and then you look at the wind right now, it's pushing in. I mean, this looks like the heaviest wind that has been in Omaha yet. 17 miles an hour, straight 17 miles an hour with gusts up to 35.
Whoa.
Gusts up to 35 from the right field. So, you know, I think you could take your mathematical projections, which I make at 9, so I can understand why the market is a little bit less than that, but nothing is getting out. I think Jared Jones might even, you know, hit some balls to the wall that could even get stopped with this kind of 35-mile-an-hour gust. So we're looking at low scoring. That could feed into a Coastal advantage. That could feed into them laying down bunts and trying to get, you know, LSU to play some defense here. The problem is LSU's defense is excellent. They are 11th in the nation fielding percentage. But then again, you know, Arkansas was second in fielding percentage, and we saw two critical errors kind of knock them out. But that's what Coastal is going to do. That wind advantage really helps Coastal and not LSU in this situation.
Yeah, and again, Colin, it not just and for people that are just new to how this works, it is the best of three here, so we will have at least tomorrow night and then Sunday afternoon. From a pitching standpoint, about as best case scenario as could get for both clubs, and both of them have elite starting rotations. Handicap that for us, not only for tomorrow's matchup, of course, Kate Anderson going to get the ball there for LSU, but also potentially Jacob Morrison coming back, whether it is 0-1 or 1-0 for the shot to clears on Sunday afternoon, and then we might get, if we get a winner take all on Monday night, a hell of a pitching matchup when you have Riley Eichhoff going for Coastal Carolina too.
Yeah, so game two is projected to be Anthony Ianson against Jacob Morrison, and you can make the case that Anthony Ianson could be pulled from the pen. Jay Johnson he's using him like an ace in the hole, and why would you not? I mean, his xFIP right now is 3.76, and when you do your calculations to figure out what your baseball numbers are, that's what gives him the edge over Jacob Morrison. So game two, I make LSU's favorite minus 165 with Ianson going over Morrison. Again, total super low at around 9. And then game three, you got to think, well, what would they do? We know Coastal's going to throw Riley Eichhoff. That's been their game three guy all year. But that's going to go up against Zach Cohen, who has been the stopper for LSU all year. But now Chase Shores, the 6'7" kid that throws 101 mile an hour, he's going to get a big piece of this series too. And, you know, when you look at Eichhoff versus Cohen, it comes out to about minus 110 both ways. If you put all that together, it's LSU minus 175 in the calculations for a series price. And so I think when you look at that and the market's about minus 190, there's a small 15-cent advantage for Coastal. But at the same time, you're going to have to beat Anthony Ianson on game two. So I would rather take a bigger underdog number on Coastal in game two than buy a series price on Coastal.
Talking with Colin Wilson from the Action Network. So if with that, those projections there, that Coastal right now is a little bit undervalued in the marketplace, could you look, if they lose game one, I guess my question, Colin, which team is better equipped to come back from an 0-1 deficit? Would it be Coastal or would it be LSU?
It has to be LSU. You know, just speaking to the fact about what they did against Little Rock, they've been able to take losses and have their backs up against the wall. When is the last time Coastal's had to break a sweat, right? How many games are we in? 24, 25 games, wins in a row?
Right,
When's the last time this team has had a sweat? So I would definitely say LSU would be the advantage. If they lose game one with Kate Anderson on the hill, they've got enough firepower to win games two and three.
Yeah, and Colin, to kind of put a bow on this, because I know that Dave will have some college football playoffs. It is not too early to look ahead here for one of our favorite markets on this show. I had said earlier in our show, remarkable to think that the Conway Regional, a lot of people had picked Florida or were eyeing the Gators as not only a team that could come out of that regional and beating Coastal, but also get to Omaha. The way that Kevin O'Sullivan's group had been here the last 5-6 years, you could have gotten Coastal at 25-1 before the tournament started to win the national title. Boy, oh boy, what a number that would be to have in pocket. More impressed that Coastal has had this run of 26 straight wins, or that LSU, kind of in that SEC mold, has had to knock off some heavyweights to get back to this spot?
That's a tough one because they've both been so impressive. LSU has been at the top tier of the SEC, but what Coastal has been able to do in that sweep of Florida really opened up my eyes, because Florida, the last 5 weeks of the SEC season, were just buzzsawing through everybody. So I think it's more impressive what Coastal has done, because they don't have the attitude that they're G5. They don't have the attitude like they don't belong. This isn't a Cinderella at all, just like their coach said. So LSU is kind of expected to be here, even though this is a lesser version of what they had with Paul Skeens a couple years ago. But I think what Coastal's done is highly impressive. And look at the way that they play offense. The bunting, the stealing. You have a number 4 hole hitter that doesn't even have a home run. You have a catcher leading off. It is a nasty, nasty team that knows how to play ball.
All right, so Colin, before we ask a couple college football questions, will we still have college baseball when we start the show on Monday, or is this thing going to get wrapped up Sunday?
It needs to get wrapped up on Sunday if you're Coastal Carolina. I think that this is a great chance that if Cade Anderson loses game one, you can come back and get LSU at probably a better number, probably plus 225 probably out there in the market. That's the number I'd be searching for if LSU loses game one.
Love it. All right, let's look ahead. Way too early looking at the college football playoff. We know we have the difference in seeding here this year. Colin, any teams that stand out? Of course, we know some of the chalky teams. Give us some value selections, teams you're targeting early at some very advantageous numbers.
Yeah, I know nobody wants to hear about Clemson. I don't think Clemson is just a shoe-in for the ACC championship. I think Clemson is a true national title contender, and I think everybody really should be trying to get. And the thing is I go back to Tom Allen being the defensive coordinator. Think about where Dabo was 2 years ago. I interviewed him at ACC Media Days, and he was just so anti-transfer portal. He was so anti-ever doing anything outside of his own coaching staff with elevating assistants up. Now we've got Tom Allen, the former Indiana head coach, as the defensive coordinator. He was defensive coordinator at Penn State. Now we're using the transfer portal to go out and get players. Something has finally struck a chord inside of Dabo to say, I might as well do what everybody else is doing. This is probably one of the most elite defenses in all of college football, at least from a defensive line perspective, from a secondary perspective. And if you have those things, you can easily compete for a national title. If you go a little bit farther into Cade Klubnik's numbers, he has taken massive leaps in what his numbers are from a big-time throw to a turnover-worthy play perspective. He is playing elite football. He's just not really getting as much attention because he was kind of a disaster when he first got there. And he's actually been completely elite since then. So that is definitely – Clemson as a team, I think, is – you know, when they opened plus 170 in the ACC, I told everywhere I could get my hands on it, I was buying it and said, this number should really be about minus 140. So I still think there's a little meat there to go out and buy it. Outside of the elites, I'm a little bit higher on Alabama than everybody else. I would like a little bit more clarity on what we're doing at some of the positions on the team. So I'm waiting for fall camp to kind of fire on that. But outside of those two, I am very big on Oklahoma. I am not allowed to talk about what I'm waiting. I'm not allowed to wager on the Heisman. But if I could, and if I was allowed to make a straw poll, I would put John Mathier at the very top. When you are allowed to bring your offensive coordinator in, that is such a huge advantage. Look at Utah. Look at Oklahoma. Offensive coordinators joining quarterbacks is a really big deal. I like win totals over, and I like them to challenge both for their conferences.
Wow. And Clemson, by the way, 14-1 to win the national championship. Colin, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time. And now I'm all fired up for college football with that little taste and that precursor there. So give him a follow. _Colin_1. We're back talking some golf. Kelly Bidlin is up next.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Great conversation with Colin Wilson in the last segment. Get me fired up for college football. Really fired up to have Kelly Bidlin join us early here on a Friday. It's asking a lot, Jensen, right? He's got to do a couple hours here coming up with Gil Alexander. And we're like, hey, Can you come in early for us, Kelly?
Hey, for you guys, anything. But there is something mentally taxing about when you have to set that alarm from sometime in the 4 a.m. hour to the 3 a.m. hour. I will say, but for you guys, anything. Okay.
We appreciate you hopping in. Again, we're going to talk some NBA finals. But Jensen, Kelly knows me so well by now. I want to talk golf. And we expected carnage at the U.S. Open last week. All of a sudden, I look up at this easy course, shortest course in the PGA Tour. It's going to be a birdie fest. We're all going to shoot 20 under. And now we got the winds of Connecticut blowing?
Winds of Connecticut are blowing strong, Dave. That is what it looks like this morning. Even I've got semi-boots on the ground. How about Chris Felica in Connecticut telling me to let you know, yes, it is very windy in Connecticut today.
So do we have to re-handicap this thing now? That like maybe not to say even par is a good score today, but all of a sudden, I thought you had to go 6-7 under par every day to have a shot at this thing. That might not be the case now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a course where we've seen guys go low on, like you were hinting at, Dave. But one of the main defenses of this course is you're still kind of like last week, kind of, not the same thing. But you still got tight fairways with very penal rough.
Right.
So we're talking wind off the tee that could be blowing a good-looking tee shot over into some thick stuff. I would expect that's what's going to cause the most amount of problems today. So I think if you are looking at second round matchups or some of the second round betting markets, I probably look for some more of those quality scramblers that are going to have to be a little bit better at dealing with that stuff and getting out of the thick stuff over there.
All right, Kelly. So earlier in the show, Dave and I were just workshopping some names to add live. I did do a winner without market. Tommy Fleetwood got him from 16-1 to plus 1888. Again, winner without Scottie Scheffler. Does the British Jesus find a way to get at least to the podium at second place for me?
I like that bet, Jensen, because you didn't go with Tommy Fleetwood to win.
Yes.
Because last time I checked, there's not many W's on Tommy Fleetwood's resume here in the United States. So, no, I like that. That it was one that I kind of brought up as well. Fleetwood was a bet for me this week in the top 20 market. I think where he's at right now in the leaderboard, a live top 10 out there at plus 120, still getting plus money on him. I think that'd be a good way to go. Yours is a little bit more ballsy, but I don't hate it. I do think we're talking about one of the better players in the field this week, and did kind of check one of the boxes. I thought it was an interesting conversation on Long Shots this week of what did you take away from Oakmont and carrying it over to this week? And honestly, guys, I don't remember the last time I handicapped a golf tournament like this, but I was like, guys that missed the cut last week, I'm a little more okay playing this week than normal because they did not have to stay around for the whole weekend of Oakmont and deal with all of that. They were able to get out of town, Tommy, and concentrate on this tournament, the last signature event of the year. Tommy Fleetwood was one of those guys. So, yeah, I'm high on Tommy this week, Jensen. I like that bet.
Patrick Cantlay, by the way, right now is the guy making a move in the tough conditions, 200 par through four. So he's at 500 for the tournament, three off the lead. He's moved up to 18-1 in the live betting market. Rory has already drifted, hadn't even teed off yet, to 7-1. I always find that interesting where a guy drifts and he hasn't teed off yet to 7-1. Jensen and I had the conversation about Wyndham Clark, who right now, really good round yesterday, 600 par, two off the lead, 35-1 in the live betting market. I don't know if you heard the comments. He addressed the kicking of the locker room incident at Oakmont. Yes, the mystery is over. It was Wyndham Clark that bashed in those lockers. What do you make of where guys like Rory, guys like Wyndham, even Colin Morikawa, where their heads are at? Do you factor that into your handicapping?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of those guys that I was looking to stay away from this week, especially Rory. I mean, he does end up finishing inside the top 20 at the U.S. Open last week, which was pretty incredible, but man, it's you don't like to play psychologist, but there's something going on off the course here. And it's you don't know if it's just, hey, we won the Masters and now what else is there for me in this sport? I think there might have been a brief moment of that. But really, like I do so much statistically with golf, the approach numbers have been down in four straight events. And that's concerning, where it's usually not a golfer effort that I'm going to go make a bet on that has lost their iron play like that for consecutive events. So look, so far he's proven me wrong. I'm pretty impressed with some of these results.
But you've got to have irons for this golf course.
I mean, he's playing wedges. He's one of the best wedge players in the world. So, yeah, you would think he's going to be okay. But, I mean, Dave, I am kind of impressed with some of these guys that have bounced back after really ugly results and, you know, punching in stuff last week. And when the whole golf reporting, Dave, you and I have talked about this a ton, but it's just not like another American major sport.
No.
Right? We don't get injury reports. We don't get, you know, all the media access that we want. So like Wyndham Clark admitted to things that were just going around on the internet, basically.
Right. You know, he didn't have to own up to him.
Right, he really did it. He really did it. I mean, he also kind of just halfway owned up to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly, is it too early? And I just was playing around with your guys' conversation about it for the Open coming up at Portrush here. I mean, Rory right now plus 650, Scotty at plus 450. What's the number that Rory would have to get to pre-flop? And also kind of contemplating what his form looks like, regardless of what happens here and maybe the next week or so. What's the number you would be very enticed to say, okay, I have to have some shares of Rory outright to win the Open?
Yeah, I think that's tough actually right now, Jensen, because I think if you're just saying what's a number at Portrush for Rory McIlroy, I mean, right now is probably good enough in theory, but I do want to see him put together a little bit of form here before I go and back him over there. I think that is something that's going to be important to me, at least to put together one, two golf tournaments here before heading over there, you know, whether it's here in the Scottish or something like that, where he puts together and actually has some good approach rounds that I'd be willing to bet him. He's absolutely someone that I think needs to be considered. It's, you know, I've stayed away from him for the past few weeks with just kind of not knowing what's going on in his head. But I think the one thing, if he can't get up for that event and can't be on his A game for that event, then really we've got a Rory problem.
So I'm with you. If he doesn't shine at Portrush, then we really have to ask some questions about the Ryder Cup, because he's their ace in the hole. He's their anchor. He's their number one guy coming up in September at Bethpage. And oh, by the way, that's New York. I don't know that those fans are going to treat him kindly when we get to Bethpage Black. Now, USA is minus $1.45. Wes Reynolds hates me. I'll ask a question a year out. Hey, should we bet the Ryder Cup?
Oh, I know you will. I know you will. I want to know, how much is a Ryder Cup paying Dave Jensen? Like, this is, he promotes the Ryder Cup better than any person I know.
It might be my favorite sporting event we get every 2 years. I can't wait to bet it. But I don't know how to bet it. If Jordan Spieth has got this injury, he had a WD from the Travelers. He never withdraws from anything. JJ Spahn, great story. But now he's a lock on the Ryder Cup team. Like, what do we make of Team USA here?
It would be Euros or pass for me right now. But that's right now. I think you just brought up a significant point. Where's Rory going to be at that point, right? And that's a major, major question when you look at what that Ryder Cup team is likely for Europe. It is going to be stacked with a couple big names at the top, and they're not every time. They're not nearly as deep as the Americans, right? That's usually what the story is. That's a new wrinkle, though, right, Dave? I think when I've been thinking about it the past few months, it's, man, all these Americans that are just not getting their game consistent, right? Xander took a while to get back from the injury. That's excusable. I think he's back now, but, you know, still not a W under his belt. Colin Morikawa's kind of been up and down all year. This hadn't been his best year ever. Nope. There's a lot of question marks, I think, on that American side once you get past Scottie Scheffler. So right now it would be Euros or pass for me, but, you know, if you're telling me Rory McIlroy's rolling into the fall, continuing to put up bad statistical performances, I don't want any part of that. So betting advice would be hit the pause button right now. Wait till you get a little bit closer to the event.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. One last one for me, Kelly. We will have a game 7 on Sunday night. First time since my Cavaliers went into the Lions' Den and stole it from the Golden State Warriors. How do we see this one sized up? And do we buy into anything on the spread at the moment? I know it's 8 right now for the Thunder, the way that we just saw them just be a guy in a milk carton, if you will, from that shooting performance last night.
Yeah, just an absolutely atrocious game by the Thunder. One of the worst games they've played all season, period. Look, heading back to game 7, I've been saying this for about a week now. This was, if this situation appeared, I was going to be, I've got a lot of Thunder to win the finals tickets from months ago during the Denver series. I've got those futures tickets. I put in a bet last night on Pacers plus 8.5. I've been saying, if this goes 7, give me Rick Carlisle, the much more battle-tested head coach, which he very much proved last night. And before it was Halliburton and Carlisle. I think Halliburton's still limited. That's where the only question mark is for me. I think I bet it a little bit less than I would have been planning to a week ago because of that last night. I think everybody's maybe going a little over the top with how healthy he is. I think he's still very limited. But man, it'd be Pacers or nothing for me. I think they are clearly the team that's got it together and got the vibes going right now.
You've got a nice middle there with that 8.5, right? Who's going to win the Ryder Cup in 2027?
The Americans, Dave.
Kelly, tell the people what you got coming up with Gil here in a numbers game.
Yeah, numbers game. We got a lot going on today. We'll be talking College World Series. We'll be talking NBA Finals. We'll be hitting the golf. We've even got Chris Felica talking women's Euros going on this summer. Yeah.
Do you like getting up early with me and Jensen?
I love it, man. Anytime.
We appreciate you. Even though you didn't give me a winner in 2027. Numbers game is coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.